KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinnean, and it's 9:02. A Unalakleet man was charged with illegal subsistence fishing in the Unalakleet River earlier this month. 39-year-old Norman Haugen was subsistence fishing with one 7 3/4-inch gillnet and one 8-inch mesh gillnet. At the time, on July 2nd, the Unalakleet River was restricted to a 4.5-inch mesh gillnet or smaller. Alaska State Troopers report both gillnets, 25 Kings 10 chum, and one pink salmon were seized as evidence. The salmon was donated to another community in the area. Haugen was ordered to appear in Unalakleet District Court. The gillnet restriction was in place because the Alaska Department of Fish and Game was forecasting for a low king salmon return this summer. As of last Friday, just 547 king salmon were counted in the Unalakleet tributaries, the Main River and the North River. Fish and Game will most likely not meet the escapement goal of 1,200 to 2,600 king salmon. The U.S. Coast Guard has opened a seasonal base in Kotzebue from which to run operations this summer. Captain Daniel Travers is chief of incident management for the Coast Guard in Alaska. He says crews will conduct search and rescue operations, law enforcement patrols, and homeland security missions in western Alaska and the Bering Strait. He says in a release that crews also will participate in scheduled Arctic Shield exercises. The Coast Guard will use Alaska Air National Guard hangar facilities at Kotzebue to house a crew and a helicopter. Police say alcohol and speed may have played a factor in a car crash that left a 32-year-old woman dead and two others injured early Friday in East Anchorage. A man and two women were riding in a Chevrolet pickup truck around 2 in the morning Friday between Chipperfield Drive and Industrial Way when the driver lost control. Police spokesperson Jennifer Castro says the vehicle rolled multiple times. The driver, 29-year-old Andre Clinton, and 32-year-old Marsha Masali were ejected from the vehicle. Masali died and Clinton suffered life-threatening injuries. The third passenger was in the car wearing a seatbelt. Castro says Masali and Clinton were not wearing seatbelts. The Federal Aviation Administration is increasing the amount of hours required to become a co-pilot for a commercial air carrier. APRN's Peter Granitz reports the change goes into effect August 1st. Co-pilots, technically known as first officers, will now be required to hold an air transport pilot license. It will take 1,500 hours to qualify for that, and that's quite the increase, up from today's standard of 250 hours.
That doesn't mean that your first officer only had 250 hours.
Matthew Macri is the director of operations for Penn Air. He says most first officers have well exceeded the 250-hour mark, and the change won't be too onerous.
We've known this has been coming long enough that for the past 2 years, most carriers have been able to adapt their hiring practices so that it wouldn't be a catastrophic event to where they have to, you know, furlough half of their crew force until they have enough flight time.
Congress mandated that the FAA change the requirements after a regional carrier in the Northeast crashed and killed 50 people. The FAA blamed a lack of pilot training in that crash. And the Senate Majority Office says that former lawmaker John Cowdery has died. Cowdery passed away on Saturday at the age of 83. He was first elected to the House in 1982 and served in either the House or the Senate from the early 1980s through the early 2000s. While serving as a state senator, Cowdery admitted in 2008 to conspiring with the one-time head of an oil pipeline services company to try to bribe another senator. In 2010, the Alaska Legislative Ethics Committee found that he had violated ethics law with his conduct. Cowdery moved to Alaska in 1950. Archaeologists are in a race against climate change to preserve history in Northwest Alaska. Michael Holt is an archaeologist and cultural resources manager for the Western Arctic National Parklands. He says erosion, thawing permafrost, and other landscape changes are directly affecting archaeological sites throughout the region. The artifacts at risk of being lost include prehistoric and historic resources from the late Holocene period, a time frame between 5,500 years ago and today.
These sites can actually tell us quite a bit about how people lived throughout the late Holocene, such as even the precursors to the Eskimo and Inuit cultures, and when that shift from living on and subsisting on terrestrial game animals like caribou happened, and people started then focusing on the marine resources. So that was during this time frame that major shift in subsistence and settlement patterns happened.
While landscape changes are affecting many areas, including interior watersheds, Holt says the current focus of study is on the Seward Peninsula and in Cape Krusenstern, areas where the heaviest impacts of coastal erosion are occurring. He says the erosion is due to ocean current changes, increased stormy weather and flooding, as well as thawing permafrost.
It's scalable. There are instances of minor erosion, in other words, maybe less than 10 centimeters of erosion or beach erosion and landscape erosion happening per year, up to severe, which could be almost up to 4 meters per year.
Holt adds there are some instances along Cape Krusenstern and in the Bering Land Bridge where about 100 yards have been lost within the past 64 years. That's the size of a football field. 3 people at the National Park Service, including Holt, are aggressively trying to document village sites and artifacts before they disappear forever.
What our steps are primarily are to inventory or survey the areas that we haven't looked at, which are quite few in this area, and also revisit some of those areas on the coast that have been recorded.
He says this work is important because it connects current cultures with their heritage.
These resources are critical to our understanding of how people adapted to a changing and challenging environment throughout the late Holocene. And it's just a fascinating story that we need to get out before we actually lose those resources to these broader climate change issues.
Holt says they'll be expanding their study to the rest of the Bering Land Bridge National Preserve and the Cape Krusenstern National Monument in the near future. It's currently 9:30 after 9 o'clock.